This is Andy Shore from Washington, D.C., with the Pulmonary and Critical Care Literature Update. There's been a lot of interest in the use of biologics focused on cytokines that modify eosinophil biology in asthma. We've seen a number of studies in the last 2 years and the approval of a number of molecules that really focus on this very eosinophilic phenotype in asthma. And these studies that have looked at these molecules, and again, there are several of them, all show that they're able to offer a reduction in exacerbation rates, they have steroid-sparing effects, and generally improve the quality of life for our patients. The different molecules have different attributes in terms of their pharmacokinetics, their mechanisms of dosing, but again, it's good to have a number of drugs to choose from. At the same time, we've seen an evolution in our thoughts about COPD and a focus on an eosinophilic phenotype within COPD. This eosinophilic phenotype is thought to perhaps respond better to inhaled corticosteroids, and is in many ways thought to be different from the non-eosinophilic patients in terms of the COPD population. Two studies by Pavard and colleagues are reported in the October 26th issue of the New England Journal of Medicine focusing on mepolizumab, again, an anti-cytokine monoclonal antibody focused on eosinophil biology. And these two trials, Metrex and Metrio, really try to explore, might there be a role for using one of these anti-eosinophil monoclonals in a way to improve outcomes for this eosinophilic phenotype within COPD. Now, by reporting two trials, the study is very hard to understand, or rather the report of the two trials is very complicated to pull out and piece together. In fact, what's challenging is that in one trial, Metrex, they've randomized patients with advanced COPD who are on triple therapy, gold group D COPD patients who have all had exacerbations recently, to either 100 milligrams of mepolizumab or placebo. And within this trial, they stratify based on eosinophil or non-eosinophil phenotype, and they define the eosinophil phenotype as having an eosinophil count of greater than 150 at the time of enrollment or greater than 300 in the last year. So again, it's an all-comer population, both eosinophil and non-eosinophil phenotype, with a pre-specified stratification randomizing to the 100 milligrams of mepolizumab or placebo. And the primary endpoint is the annual rate of exacerbations. And then in the second trial, Metrio, they now take only patients with the eosinophil phenotype and randomize them to one of three arms, placebo again, the 100 milligram dose of mepolizumab, or the 300 milligram dose of mepolizumab. For this trial, again, they're enrolling only stage D COPD patients. And again, they're looking at the rate of exacerbations. In Metrex, they enroll approximately 840 patients. And again, half of them have a COPD phenotype, half of them do not. When they look in this trial in the overall population, which includes both the eosinophil phenotype and not, there's no difference in the annual rate of exacerbations. However, their primary endpoint was that population that did have the eosinophil phenotype, and they saw that there was a substantial reduction or significant reduction in exacerbations in that population that got the 100 milligram dose and had the eosinophil phenotype. They really didn't notice many other changes besides that. There was no difference in the rate of ER visits or hospitalizations, no difference in quality of life, no difference in lung function. So they were preventing corticosteroid and antibiotic exposure. In the Metrio trials, where they were doing a directed trial where you had to have the eosinophil phenotype to get in, and you were randomized to placebo or the two doses, they actually did not see a significant difference over the evaluation period in terms of the rate of annual exacerbations. So we have one trial that might be positive and a second trial that's clearly negative. Now, as part of the analysis plan, the authors forthrightly had stated that they were going to do a pre-specified meta-analysis at the patient level, focusing on all those patients with the eosinophil phenotype. And when they pool the data and they pull out all the eosinophil patients, what they find is that there's a signal indicating that in those patients with the eosinophil phenotype, the anti-eosinophil therapy offers a benefit. I have several concerns here. First of all, it's not clear that you should ever plan to take data from a negative trial and pool with data from a positive trial, beyond purely being hypothesis generating. So I don't think we can draw anything clinically meaningful from that kind of analysis. Now, that analysis is very interesting in terms of its hypothesis generation, as I note, because it also showed that if the eosinophil count went up, the protective effect also went up with drug exposure. So there's clearly some connection, some nexus between eosinophil measurement as a biomarker and exacerbation rates. And by changing that rate of eosinophils, or by lowering the eosinophil count, there seems to be some protective effect. Again, though, we basically have a well-done, double-blind randomized controlled trial stratifying based on those populations, looking at the 100 and the 300 milligram dose in placebo, showing no signal. And it's hard to dismiss, through a pooling mechanism, a well-done 600-some patient study, or rather a larger than 600-some patient study, that's negative. More importantly, the treatment effect that these authors identify is on exacerbations, which are of unclear clinical significance. If you're not preventing severe exacerbations, albeit hard to show in a clinical trial because you need a much larger sample size, but at the same time, you're also showing no other benefit in a patient-reported outcome in terms of lung function, quality of life, or what have you, even if you find a difference, you have to wonder if it's a distinction without a difference, right? And what's the benefit to the patient? And so I think, although the authors do some important work here suggesting the role for eosinophils in the biology of COPD and COPD exacerbations, it's unclear that they have a very clean signal here that even by inhibiting the eosinophil, they're actually improving outcomes, which would be the true cause and effect nexus they want to demonstrate. Realize that earlier trials of other monoclonals in this disease state, other anti-eosinophil-directed monoclonals, have shown slightly different outcomes, but those are earlier and much smaller studies. From a clinician perspective, I think the use of these agents in COPD, even in the eosinophil, or certainly in the eosinophil phenotype, is not yet proven to be a benefit. And I don't think we should be progressing that way, given the expense of these agents, at least in the short term. And in terms of the question about the role for eosinophil biology, I think it's very, very thought-provoking. But again, perhaps in the words of Robert Frost, we have miles to go before we sleep. All of this comes back to fueling the ongoing debate that's been raging in the literature for 40 years about the Dutch hypothesis and the etiology, or what really causes COPD. And unfortunately, these trials, although very well done, and kudos to the investigators for doing all this work and thinking about these agents as a way to really get to this question, this data doesn't really crystallize the issue one way or the other. So again, mepolizumab for COPD in the October 26 issue of the New England Journal of Medicine.